It's good to be here on this Resurrection Sunday. I hope you can hear my voice. I'm told that holding a microphone like this one makes it sound more clear and a little bit louder. So this morning I feel like a TV evangelist. I put a loose this thing. It is good to see Kurt Ben Allegan here today. Actually, I'm very proud of this. I call him young man. He has now retired from the Air Force, where he was in charge of keeping the B-52s in air. Great responsibility. But good guy. Amen. You're looking good. I said, you're looking good.
You look amazing.
But you're not good looking. Well, praise God. I've discovered something this week, and it might be that my voice problem is actually a vocal cord that is paralyzed. They think that perhaps through therapy they can revitalize that. There's two things. I'd rather go to heaven than to lose my voice completely. And I'd rather go to heaven than to lose my mind. Some of you think I already have. I have a message today from the book of Psalms that I call it my resurrection message. It might seem like a strange psalm to look at, but it's a very familiar, and I hope that God speaks to our hearts through it. In verse number one, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful today that we could call upon you. We ask today that this whole weak voice might somehow be heard, and Spirit of God, you can move upon our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the greatest event of all time came on Resurrection Sunday, when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, arose from the dead. Amen. It is this that we celebrate on Easter every day, every year. Actually, it's every Sunday as well. It's not about a bunny that lays eggs for an egg hunt. The only thing I ever saw a bunny lay was real round and dark colored, about the size of a BB. It isn't about new clothes. salvation. We're dependent for sanctification, which is the ability to live separated from the world. As our shepherd, we are certainly that kind of dependent. In the last few months, I have learned dependence as never before. I must depend mostly on my family to bring our groceries, our meals, to spend the night. Generally have two of them spend the night with us to help my wife get me up and down. I have to depend upon them to turn me over in bed. I have to depend on my wife. Close your ears to even wipe my bottom. Talk about humiliating. But she does it so willingly. And normally, my grandchildren tell me, get to the stool into my chair or into this particular chair. Matter of fact, when they bring it to me, they've had to learn how to drive it pretty well. They're the ones that run to get me whatever I need to help their grandmother in getting me dressed. I am a dependent, and they could claim me on their taxes. I've learned this more than ever. I must say, not willingly, but out of need that I cannot supply, things that I cannot do. And I must say, in spite of all, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Our text today, I believe, is marvelous. We find that, as verse 1 shows him as our shepherd, verses 2 through 5 reveal our need of his protection and sustenance. It's basically talking about how he meets our needs. In verse 6, we find our destination, and that certainly will be in the presence of the Lord. For our text today, I want to look primarily at verse number 5, where it says, verse number 4, excuse me, where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Most often, this verse is applied at funerals and on the death of an individual. And I don't believe that's wrong, but I will tell you this. It is really teaches something about the shepherd and how he was protecting his sheep. In this verse, we find that he is leading him through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about this. He's taken the flock up through the valley to higher ground to feed his flock on the green grass. But in that journey, there are those predators that are looming above, seeking to devour the sheep that he's tending to. The enemy is wolves and cougars as they eye that prey from above. We find that they seek and to eat the mutton on display. But first, they must catch and kill the animal. It is here that we can see the correlation in our own death. It is a valley we walk through with the Lord. If he isn't your shepherd, then you walk this path alone. I do not understand how people who are not Christians can handle death, not only as an observer, but as a participant. For I find that I have the need to have somebody around me at all times. I find that at the time of death, often cheer, for it is not that which is audible, but that which is recorded in the Word of God and cemented in our hearts by the Spirit of God. And herein lies the attack of the devil upon the Word of God, as he tries to destroy its very content. Strange as it seems, he uses science, so-called, to bid his calling. Surely, we find that he's relegated out of the secular view the thought amongst most people that we somehow came from a monkey. Evolution and creation are at opposite poles. You cannot combine them. It's either one or the other. And I believe that when Charles Darwin and Engels put together their thoughts on the evolutionary theory in his book, which, by the way, over 800 times says, "We think, we believe." They never could prove an ounce of it. But I don't believe I come from a monkey. If I did, why did I lose my tail? I could use that tail for hanging around, couldn't you? I believe he also seeks to change the Word of God, as he did to Eve back in the garden. We find that it says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He's questioning God's word. The Bible says, "And the woman, she said, Yea, hath God said," excuse me, "and the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, listen to what he says, "Ye shall not surely die." And then he tries to explain why. "For God doth know in the day he thereof that your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." We find that those who know the shepherd, we find that they hear his voice. But we also find that they respond to that voice. They don't just hear it, but they respond. The Bible says in John 10, verse 2 and 3, "But he that entereth into the door by the is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, then the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, and leadeth them out." You see, they respond to his voice. It is a voice of salvation, as he calls on us to be saved. List these words in John chapter 5. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into years ago, went over to Israel, and he was not too far out of the city of Jerusalem when he noticed a shepherd's fold. He noticed where they would come and water the sheep, and they would come in their flocks, and they would all gather together, and they'd be all mixed up. But when the shepherd stepped away and called his sheep, they heard his voice, and one by one, all those sheep followed their shepherd. Thank God, he's my shepherd. Not only that, they understood his word. Before I was saved, I didn't understand the Bible. I didn't have the Spirit of Christ dwelling with me. But they understood his word. Again, in verse number 6, it says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which spake unto them." That's not referring to his sheep, but to those who are listening, who were unbelievers. For he said, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and are known of mine. He knows me, and I know him." I believe it won't be too many days or months, and I will get to see his marvelous face. There was a time, even though I was saved, there was not a thrill in my soul, but it has become that today. And if you beat me in this, I'm going to be upset with you. But God has been my shepherd. I have not wanted for anything. He's taken care of me, not only physically, but spiritually, and so far mentally. And thank God for that. But I have a question for you this morning. Is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Have you heard his voice as he is called in the call of salvation? Have you heard his voice as he let us know of our sinfulness and our need of a Savior? Have you heard my shepherd call for you that you might be saved? Have you heard his voice in leadership? Are you allowed him to give you every step of the way? That's great. Really, two questions. And I ask those this morning with a trembling heart, fearing lest ye not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I'm thankful this morning that you have given to be a shepherd. But Lord, in my midst, perhaps are those to whom cannot say the Lord is their shepherd. They cannot understand your word. They don't hear your voice. Lord, I pray that they might hear that voice of salvation and get saved today. I pray for your people.